ॐ भद्रं कर्णेभिः शृणुयाम देवाः भद्रं पश्येमाक्षभिर्यजत्राः स्थिरैरङ्गैस्तुष्टुवांसस्तनूभिः व्यसेम देवहिदं यदायुः स्वस्ति न इन्द्रो वृद्धश्रवाः स्वस्ति नः पूषा विश्ववेदाः स्वस्ति नस्ताक्षो अरिष्टनेमिः स्वस्ति नो बृहस्पतिर्दधात्। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः। O almighty gods, let's be capable of performing sacrifices and hear auspicious sounds with our ears and see auspicious forms with our eyes, with strong and steady limbs and body and remaining ever prayerful, let us spend our God-given life directing our minds always to auspicious thoughts. Om peace, peace, peace. Now we are coming to a famous verse, 11th verse of 3rd chapter. Before this, it was already shown that there is no change for the consciousness, for the Atman at any stage. Either at birth, existence or death. And this was demonstrated with the help of an analogy which are called Ghatakasha and Mahakasha in Sanskrit. I shall try to explain. If you have a pot or any vessel, then you feel that the space within the vessel has got a separate existence. It is different from the space outside that pot. We feel that way because we feel that the space within the vessel is confined to the shape and the size of the vessel. So it is smaller in dimension. And the space outside is universal, all-pervading. So we feel these are two different things. And we sometimes believe that the space within the pot is a part of the space outside. The universal space is the whole, and the space confined to the pot is a part. Or we feel, we may believe that the space, the smaller space confined to the pot, is an evolute of the universal space. Some kind of distinction, difference we may posit. Now, similarly, we may also believe that individual souls, individual jivas, are parts, and the universal consciousness, Brahman or Atman, is the whole. In fact, that is the belief of one school of Vedanta, which is known as the qualified non-dualistic school, the school of qualified non-dualism, technically called Vishishta Advaita of Ramanuja Acharya. I shall just give a brief outline. There are three levels of evolution in Vedanta thought. At the lowest primitive level, everything is different from everything else. God is different from all individual beings. And God is different from the whole universe. And universe is different from individual beings. And there is distinction and differences between or among different beings in this world. And there is also a difference and distinction between different living beings in the world, different jivas, different individual souls. So we are all different, and everything is different from everything else. This is the beginning, the primitive stage of Vedanta, and it's called dualism, or you can say pluralism, the school of pluralism. In fact, most of the monotheistic religions, though they believe in one God, are dualistic or pluralistic, so far as their approach towards different living beings in this world is concerned. They are essentially dualistic. They believe in monotheism, but monotheism is all right only in their conception of Godhead. In their understanding of the universe and with regard to their interpretation of individual beings, they are not monotheistic. For monotheism itself implies belief in one God. But what about the universe? What about the different beings in this world? So, with regard to the universe and the living beings, they are essentially polytheistic and they are dualistic and pluralistic. And this school is known as Dvaita or dualism, and its founder, its chief exponent was Madhvacharya, who was born in the 12th century AD. And next in evolution was the school of Ramanuja, which is called qualified non-dualism. He was an elder contemporary of Madhvacharya. He lived a little earlier before Madhva. And he said that there is a relationship between God and the universe and also living beings in this universe. The universe and God have a relationship. Universe is a part, God is the whole. Similarly, the jivas, individual souls and God are related. Individual souls are parts and God is whole. And not only that, the individual souls and the universe are evolutes of the Godhead, who is explained as having a definite form, a name, and a number of attributes. It comes very close to Spinoza's conception of Godhead, more or less. But there is one difference. All the universal beings the whole universe is unconscious, devoid of consciousness. Only human beings have consciousness. That was Ramanuja's theory. This is called qualified non-dualism. It approaches non-dualism, but it is qualified, it is conditioned, it is modified. So technically called chit achit visishta, means it, reality is one, it is non-dualism, but within the non-dualistic reality, the absolute reality, there are two entities, the conscious living beings, the individual souls, and the unconscious entities constituting the universe. And about 350 years before Ramanuja, the great Advaita teacher Shankaracharya emerged. He was the one who taught that the reality is one, the existence is one, God is beyond time, space and causation. The reality, the absolute reality, transcends attributes, names and forms. It is one without a second. All these entities constituting the universe, they come and they go. They are subject to change. Therefore, they cannot be said to be eternal, but they are not non-existent. They are relative, and this relativity is sometimes called mithya or Maya means everything that comes and goes. But behind these relative entities, there is that unchanging, unborn, eternal, deathless, immortal, absolute reality. Atman or Brahman. This Atman is immanent in all beings. It is also omnipresent, all-pervading. So it is immanent and also omnipresent. It is also transcendental. If you don't admit the transcendental dimension of the reality, then sometimes it could be interpreted as pantheism, which is not acceptable to Advaitis. This is the idea behind. Now, Swami Vivekananda, in a classic statement, said, we are all traveling from dualism towards non-dualism, and there is a point in between that is qualified non-dualism. This is true with regard to our understanding of God, our concept of the absolute reality, and our own spiritual evolution from many towards one, evolution from gross to subtle, evolution from without towards within. This is the idea behind. So, in the eighth verse, Gaudapada, the author, established the fact that those who believe that the dualistic absolute reality are like children who believe that the sky gets dirty and filthy if there is dark cloud in the sky. The sky appears to have become black because children don't understand that the sky remains space, as such space rather. The space remains intact. It cannot be tainted. It cannot become dirty. Clouds come and go, but the space remains untouched, unaffected. That's why yatha bhavati balanam gaganam malinam malaihi tatha bhavati abuddhanam atma api maline amalai. This is the idea behind. Now we are coming to, and then the ninth verse, it was already established that this Atman, this consciousness, this supreme reality is the same in all living beings. It is never born. Why? Because it exists all the time. Birth signifies the transition from a state of absence to a state of existence, from a state of non-existence to a state of existence. It's called birth. This Atman is never born because it always exists. Therefore, it always remains the same without change. It is eternal. Now, and again in the 10th verse, it was already established that all these psychophysical mechanisms, all these distinctions and differences are all true only so long as we are in a state of ignorance of the supreme reality. Well, this may appear to be a bit incomprehensible for beginners. Now, suppose you have innumerable vessels, pots and pans made of clay sitting in front of you. If we are even intellectually evolved, we will know very well that they are all clay only. So what about these names and forms? Pot has got a huge shape and size and a different name, and a glass made of the same clay of which the pot is made has got a smaller size and different name. Now, a pot maker who actually manufactures all these vessels from clay will certainly understand that all, after all, they are all made of clay. They are all clay only. But suppose people do not understand that everything, all these vessels are made of the same material cause, clay, they will think, well, the pot remains different from the smaller vessel, which, though both are made of the same clay. So these distinctions are like dream. Dream experiences are real for the dreamer. When the dreamer wakes up and returns to the waking state, he suddenly realizes dream experiences are, after all, dreams only. They have no existence in waking state. Similarly, when a spiritual seeker realizes that there is only one absolute reality, and that is the Supreme Consciousness, the Atman, at that moment, the Supreme Absolute Reality, which is unchanging, at that moment, the spiritually evolved person realizes that all the earlier understanding, conceptions, ideas related to ignorance were all unreal. In reality, the Supreme Consciousness, Atman, is the only reality. Now, in the 11th, this much we have already explained, so I need not go into details. Now, we are coming to 11th verse, which we have not discussed. That's what we are going to discuss in today's class, because other classes we have already discussed earlier. Now, we will come to the verse number 11, because it is very important. You won't be able to fully understand if you read the translation. So it needs some additional discussion. Rasadayo hi ye koshaha vyakhyata staitiriyaki tesham atma paro jiva kham yatha samprakashita. This is the 11th verse. This verse has gone one problem. In through this verse, Gaudapada refers to a topic discussed in another Upanishad, in the Taittiriya Upanishad. I will come to that. So first we will go to the prose order. Taittiriya ke means in Taittiriya Upanishad. Rasadeha ye koshaka vyakhyadaha hi tesham kham yatha samprakashita para atma jivaha. Now, I already explained in the beginning that altogether we have right now the knowledge of 240 Upanishads belonging to the four Vedas, Rigveda, Yajurveda, Samaveda, Atharveda. The original Sanskrit text of all these 240 Upanishads are not available now. So we don't know that all these Upanishads are equally ancient or antique. But around 160 Upanishads are available with their full Sanskrit text. Some of them are not as ancient as the Upanishad that we are dealing with, the Mandukya Upanishad or the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. Some of these Upanishads belong to later centuries. Now, of these 160, 36 Upanishads are well known, because in one Upanishad, there is a discussion, there is a dialogue between Sri Rama and a great devotee. In that Upanishad, in that text, Vedic text, Sri Rama was a great spiritual personality of ancient times in India. He gives a list of 36 Upanishads. So these 36 Upanishads are certainly authentic. Of these 36, 10 Upanishads are most important. Of these 36 Upanishads which are authentic, 10 Upanishads are most important. In fact, they constitute the very foundation of Upanishadic metaphysics and Upanishadic philosophy. And Taittiriya Upanishad is one of the 10 Upanishads which have become famous and important, because they were commented upon and explained by the great Shankaracharya, who lived between 788 and 820 or 778 or 810. He lived only for 32 years. So these 10 Upanishads are famous, and they are supposed to be the original texts upon which Vedanta philosophy, the non-dualistic philosophy, is built. They constitute the very foundation on which Vedanta philosophy, which Swami Vivekananda preached in the West, is built. Taittiriya Upanishad is one of those 10 Upanishads. Isha Kena Katha Prasna Unda Taittiriya Aranyaka Aitireya Chandogya Brihadaranyaka. These are 10 Upanishads, of which Taittiriya Upanishad is one of the 10 important Upanishads, as important as the Mundaka Upanishad, of which this Gaudapada Karika is a commentary. Now Gaudapada is referring to one such Upanishad, that is Taittiriya Upanishad. In this Taittiriya Upanishad, there is an important chapter in which there is a description of Atman. It is called Pancha Kosha Vishakalana or Pancha Kosha Vivarana. That is, the Upanishad explains, the Upanishad says that this absolute reality is the inner core, is the essence of everything. It is the supreme reality. And in this context, the Taittiriya Upanishad expounds the identity of the individual soul and the cosmic universal soul. In reality, they are the same. In fact, in support of this idea, Gaudapada will refer to another Upanishad, Brihadaranyaka Upanishad, which is supposed to be the most important in terms of metaphysical and spiritual content, and also the largest by sheer size. That Brihadaranyaka Upanishad is also referred to in the 11th verse. So, Rasadayohi ye koshah vyakhyada taittiriyake tesham atma paro jiva kham yatha samprakashita. This is the verse, 11th verse. Now, taittiriyake means Taittiriya Upanishad. There, five koshas, seeds are mentioned, which are called Annamaya Kosha, Pranamaya Kosha, Manomaya Kosha, Vijnanamaya Kosha, and Anandamaya Kosha. Now, they are, see, one within the other. It is so, Anandamaya Kosha is the first sheath, the outermost sheath. If you have got a fruit or something, then on the outer part, there is a hard shell. It is the grossest dimension. Annam actually means matter that comes and goes. Annam attiri means that which is consumed. Literally means eaten up, consumed by time. Everything in this world, the entire material universe, is food for the almighty time. Because they come in time, they exist in time, and they vanish in time. So time is a huge canvas in which everything in this world, every material entity in this world, comes into existence, exists for some time, and vanish. So these triple dimensions, three points, past, present and future, they constitute time. Anything that you see, anything that you smell, anything that you touch, that you hear, anything in this world that you cognize, that you pursue with the help of mind and any of the five senses, like sense of touch, sense of vision, etc. All these things come into existence in time, exist in time, and remember, vanish in time. That is very important, means, because time consumes, time eats up all this. Now, this is the grossest dimension, the physical. So this Atma is clothed by five sheaths. Kosha means sheath. And there are five koshas. That's called first, that's called the physical, the material, what you see, what you hear, what you touch, anything that you pursue by seeing, by hearing, by touching, by smelling, by tasting. That's material. That's the grossest dimension. It's the hard outer shell of the fruit. So that is physical. Now, within the physical, there is something which is less gross, more subtle, less gross than the physical, more subtle than the physical, but that is not the subtlest. The subtlest is Atman. The subtlest or the, the what's called sukshmatama in Sanskrit is called. The innermost sheath is Anandamaya Kosha. That is of the nature of bliss. Anandamaya Kosha is not Atman, but it stands closest to Atman. Because what is the one sign of spiritual evolution? One sign of spiritual evolution is blissfulness. It is not satisfaction. Satisfaction is very, very gross by nature. You struggle to get something, you get it, you get satisfied. But it is only one side of the coin. The other side of the coin is dissatisfaction when you lose it. Because anything in this world that you get by hard work is the effect of the work. Work is the cause, karanam, and effect is the karya, the effect. Work and its result. So anything that is in the form of a result, an effect, is a result of work, will stay for some time, but will lose it. You will lose it one day. So it gives you satisfaction, but it is just one side of the coin. The other side is dissatisfaction. So happiness and unhappiness. Before you get it, you struggle hard to get it. So that is associated with unhappiness, anxiety, effort, labor. And then when you get it, we are very much concerned that we should never lose it. So we are anxious to preserve it. That anxiety is also an expression of unhappiness. Both anxiety and unhappiness, they go together, because anxiety neurosis is not a very happy experience, any more than depression. And then when you lose it, then of course it is certainly unhappiness. So before you get, you struggle hard to get something, so much of hard work, anxiety, you are not sure you will get it, so it is unhappiness. When you get it, then you are anxious not to lose it. That also is unhappiness. And when you really lose it, then also unhappiness. And anything that you gain has to go vanish one day. Because anything in this world which is of gross nature, which is physical nature, comes and goes. Change is their essential nature. One example cited by a great philosopher, no less a philosopher than the greatest of them, Shankaracharya, in one of his Bhashya says, you know, one sign that we are all deluded by our own mind, one important sign that we are all within Maya, Maya means a kind of self-delusion, is the fact that we always forget that there is such a thing as death. Death is, if there is anything in this world which we can be certain of, it is death. But in all our efforts, in all our ambitions, in all the activities, there is always a sign of forgetfulness of this supreme truth. Because a psychologist argue, one can never go out of the way to get something material in this world unless for a split moment he comes under the delusion, he or she comes under the delusion that it is eternal. One goes out of the way, plays false games to acquire wealth and money. He may be a well-educated man, so he is not unaware of the fact that money won't stay long, the banks may collapse. Still, while making an effort to acquire money, for a split second, the person may forget that money is not eternal. So, similarly, the one thing that we always forget is that death is a reality. So, if you visit a museum showing the exhibits of ancient Egypt, mummies, dead bodies of people who died, kings, pharaohs, emperors who died maybe 4,000 years back or 5,000 years back, I mean 3,000 BC or 2,000 BC. Even when we see that, it reminds us of two things. One, that death is certain. Second, death is something related to body. So there is something beyond this body which death cannot touch, which is immortal, which is Atman. So, in fact, the grossest dimension of human personality is the physical. That is Annamaya Kosha. Gaudapada in the 11th verse refers to one important, very, very important section of the Taittiriya Upanishad, in which the reality of Atman, the unity of the individual and the cosmic Atman, the oneness, is explained with the help of an illustration. It's called Panchakosha Vivarana or Panchakosha Vishakara. It means the description of the five sheets. So, Rasadehasi Tasma Edasmat Annarasamaya Anyaha Anyantara Atma Pranamayaham. Then Tasmat Edasmat Pranamaya Anyaha Antara Atma Manomayaham. Then Tasmat Edasmat Manomaya Anyantara Atma Vijnanamayaham. Tasmat Edasmat Vijnanamaya Anyaha Antara Atma Anantamayaham. Like that. Beyond this, different from this physical, is the vital energy. Prana means vital energy, vital air. And beyond this, and within all this, vital air, energy is mind. And beyond the mind is the intellect. And beyond the mind and within the intellect, beyond the intellect, within the intellect is Anandaya, Anandamaya. This is needs some description. So we have first dealt with the grossest the most external dimension of human personality, the physical, what we call Annamaya Kosha, the outermost sheath of human personality. The second one is Pranamaya Kosha. Prana can be translated into energy. And as we evolve further and further, our understanding of our own personality, our understanding of the world, our understanding of the absolute reality also evolves. So those who are well educated may be deluded into thinking, maybe at some times, not all the time, that this external world and all these things related to the physical are eternal. But those who have gone deeper into philosophy, those who have gone deeper into the field of introspection, may believe, well, all these physical things are obviously non-eternal. They're subject to change. Destruction also is change. You know, destruction, what is destruction? Destruction is nothing but a change from the visible to the non-visible. The change from the state of existence to the state of non-existence. So destruction also is nothing but a form of change. So those who go beyond the physical may think that there is something subtler than the physical, energy, that is all pervading. So everything in this world is a manifestation, is a form, is a formation of energy. Energy remains the same. So that is the next level of spiritual and intellectual and philosophical evolution. But energy also cannot be eternal. Because who pursues this energy, who feels the presence of this energy? It is mind. So there is something beyond the physical, beyond the vital, means related vital energy. What is that? It is the mental, the mind. So Manomaya Kosha. So now we have to remember that the physical is the outermost dimension of human personality, the outermost shell of the entity. And within that is the Pranamaya Kosha, the sheath of energy, the sheath of vital air. The physical is filled with the vital energy. Now, within the energy, within the human personality of energy, or rather within the energy dimension of human personality, there is a higher, a subtler, and a deeper dimension, that is mental. It is within the energy dimension of human personality. Now, at the mental level, we are not sure, because one definition of mind in Vedanta is Sankalpa Vikalpatmika Antakarna Vrittihi Mana. Mind is that form of human tendencies and impressions which function as positive and negative thought currents. Modern psychologists also sometimes define mind as stream consciousness, an endless flow of consciousness. Not supreme art consciousness, which is often the English translation of Atman. No. What is meant by mind defined as energy, as stream consciousness, is this stream of thought currents, an endless stream of thought currents. That's what is meant here. So it is still far away from the true personality, the true dimension of human personality. So beyond the mental and within the mental and closer to the റിയാലിറ്റി ദ ആത്മൻ ഇസ് ദി ഇന്റലക്ച്വൽ ബിക്കോസ് വിജ്ഞാനമയ കോശ ദാറ്റ് ഇസ് ദി ഇന്റലക്ട് ഡൈമെൻഷൻ ഓഫ് പേഴ്സണാലിറ്റി ദ ഇന്റലക്ച്വൽ ഡൈമെൻഷൻ വി മേ കോൾ അറ്റ് ദിസ് ലെവൽ എ സ്പിരിച്വൽ സീക്കർ becomes intellectually sure about the reality of Atman, the reality, the eternal nature of Supreme Consciousness, and his mind is away from the mundane, the physical, the gross dimension. He is sure about the path to follow, and he starts evolving towards a higher level. Now, beyond this intellectual and within the intellectual is the Anandamaya Kosha. Ananda here means bliss. It is not Ananda Swarupa. I mean, means when we reach the Anandamaya Kosha dimension of spiritual evolution, we will have a different experience. I already mentioned earlier at the beginning that whatever physical we achieve, whatever may be, if it is physical, it is always associated with happiness and also unhappiness. Every gain is inseparably related to loss. But when we reach this Anandamaya Kosha, the Anandamaya dimension of personality, we get the feeling of absolute bliss. We get the feeling that we have reached somewhere beyond which there is nothing to aim at, nothing to strive for. There is no need to continue the journey. That state of experience is sometimes associated with the great mystics of all religious and spiritual traditions all over the world. In Vedantic tradition, there is a well-established vocabulary and technical terms used to explain this experience. And there may be hundreds of such great mystics, but you can find in the lives of great spiritual personalities in all religious traditions. So maybe the God-intoxicated man is Spinoza. You know, he was a humble man, live as an ordinary person. Sometimes you find great women saints also lived ordinary lives, but they had an experience which they expressed in their life. This is called blissfulness. In Vedanta, this state is an expression of our higher evolution. Anandamaya Kosha is not Atman, but it's that experience, that feeling of blissfulness, which is inexplicable, is very close to the reality itself, because that experience comes only when we evolve and reach very close to the supreme goal of spiritual evolution. That's what Gaudapada is referring to in the 11th verse. Rasadayohi ye koshaha vyakhyadaha taittiriya upanishad. Taittiriya upanishad. So in the Taittiriya Upanishad, there is a description of the spiritual growth through 5 stages. That is the physical dimension, the energy dimension of the vital, the mental, the intellectual, and ultimately this the ananda, I mean the bliss experience. Then one sign of spiritual evolution is a person gets a feeling that there is nothing, that he has reached somewhere, he has attained somewhere beyond which there is nothing more to be attained. That is a sign of spiritual progress that is mentioned here. Now we will come to the next verse. In the next verse also there is a reference to another Upanishad that we will discuss maybe not today, tomorrow. Now next one, 12th verse. Doyor doyor madhukyani param brahma prakashidaha prithivyam udare chaiva uthakasha prakashidaha. So that is the next verse, that is 12th one. Now, the prose order is yatha prithivyam udare evacha akashaka prakashidaha tatha madhukyani dvayoho param brahma prakashitam. Now, here Madhu Brahmanam, Madhu Jnanam actually is Madhu Vidya. Madhu Vidya is an important topic in the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. It is explained in one important section of the Upanishad called Madhu Brahmanam. Madhu literally means honey. But actually here it means immortality or completeness, wholeness. And immortality signifies the experience which makes us immortal. Because when we experience that we are not the physical or the mental or the intellectual, we are something beyond all this. The physical, mental, intellectual, they come and go. But the spiritual, the reality, the supreme reality is immortal. So when we realize that we are that immortal Brahman, we also become immortal. Attainment of the immortal bliss. That is explained in the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad in a particular section known as Madhu Brahmanam. And that particular technique, it is also a kind of spiritual practice. The method is called Madhu Vidya. We will describe, we will explain this in the next class. Now we will conclude. We have about 5-6 minutes. If you have got anything to ask, you can ask. Otherwise, we will conclude. In fact, there is a qualitative difference, because in Ramanuja philosophy, there is a relationship between the jivas and the different entities in the world and God. So, at the same time, there is a relationship also. Relationship is there because the jivas and the jagat, the universe, constitute the part and God is the whole. So there is an element of non-dualism relationship. But there is a distinction because they are parts and God is whole. So there is a distinction, but also there is an element of non-difference. Jivas are different because they are at different levels of spiritual evolution. But at the same time, again, there is an element of non-difference because they all constitute a part of the whole, I mean God himself. So, similarly, the same relationship exist between God and different entities in the world also. But in Madhva system, where they accept Pancha Bheda Siddhanta, I mean the doctrine of five differences, if you can think of a triangle, and if you put God on the top, and both sides, God, universe and individual beings, then you can think of five differences. There's a difference between God and the world, world and individual beings, and individual beings and God, and there is difference between, I mean, among the individual beings, and there's a difference among different entities in the world. So that is not acceptable to Ramanuja. So Ramanuja's system stands somewhere between the extreme form of dualism of Madhva and the absolute non-dualism of Shankaracharya, which is called Kevala Advaita. Yes, please.
My ancestors and friends, their lives come to an end. You know, when you're in your 30s, it's easy to think that you're immortal, things can always continue on. But at my age now, I see people passing on, disappearing. There is something inherent in my intuition that feels that it's more possibly constant, and I would call it consciousness, sense of awareness or consciousness. And I'm hoping that, you know, with my spiritual practice, if I meditate more, if I bring my concentration to that consciousness, then maybe I won't die.
Yeah, in fact, you reach an experience where you feel death is not the end of your real I. So, if we feel we are this body, then death is the end of everything. But the moment we experience we are something beyond this, the I is something beyond this body, then we become immortal. Death is no more seen as something to be scared about, or it is not the end of the journey, end of the road. Now, in Vedanta, whatever little spiritual practice we practice, will have its effect, positive effect on our future lives. But this cycle of transmigratory existence comes to an end once for all, the moment we realize that we are something other than the physical body, the psychophysical mechanism. And that we realize when we realize that we are the immortal consciousness, the Atman. And for such person, death is not at all a problem. It is just like, for them, it is nothing at all. So, as we spiritually evolve, progress further and further, our understanding of what we are also evolves. That's what happens. As for ancestors, you mentioned something about your ancestors, the first part of the question?
Well, I'm
of course.
At this stage in my life, seeing friends die.
Yes.
It's not uncommon quite
a
few. It's real.
Yes.
But as I identify more with my consciousness, which feels like the Atman, that is also Brahman.
Yeah.
So hopefully I'll make progress.
Yes, that's true. That's true. Yes, that's right. Yes. So now we will conclude. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Om Peace Peace Peace. Hari Om.